So, Colby is a living method that helps us measure our natural strengths. So, we are forever talking about, the affective part of the mind, and that is what you do such an incredible job at, right? At motivating people and helping them find or identify their values, what makes them tick. It's essentially, their values, their passion, the things that they love, prefer, all of the stuff that makes them tick. And so the affective part of the mind is really incredibly important because that's where motivation lives, and motivation acts like a spark. So we'll leave that there. It's kind of like a long way around what I'm about to what to explain what Colby does, but I think it makes sense to see it as a whole. So we've got the affective part of the mind where motivation lives, and then we have the cognitive part of the mind, and that is where all of our skills are, the things that we know, the knowledge, the experience that we gather along the way, right? At school, at work, at home. The interesting part about the cognitive part of the mind is that that is where IQ lives. And that is something that our parents give us genetically that doesn't change. But apart from that, the affective and the cognitive, they're always evolving, right? We're always growing.
Welcome to Parenting Teens Today with Jessie LeBeau.
I'm excited to talk about the things that you have going on now. It's so amazing what you're doing, and obviously that's what brought us together. But before you were doing what we'll get to, and I'll be very mysterious and just allude to it here, how did you get into education? Like, what was your career for many years? And I'd love to hear about that.
So I taught for 10 years and I taught French immersion. So once I came to Toronto, I already knew I wanted to be a teacher. So, but I have an undergrad in French literature and women's studies. And then I did my teacher's college. I did it in French. So I already knew that I wanted to teach French. But I ended up teaching French immersion. And so that was my career for 10 years. And I really loved what I did. I ended up teaching mainly primary grades. I love that whole process of learning to read and write. That's probably what I love doing most. But over the years, I got to teach other things, and my career has really helped me reinvent myself in many good ways, I would say, as I was raising a family. I think one of the most favorite things I got to do was to teach a multi-age group. I was teaching photography in a high school, actually. And it was volunteer work. But I had a multi-age class, and we focused on photography as a way to journal our daily lives. And so we'd meet once a week, and it was about talking about, like, the kids would talk about their daily life, and they would record different aspects of it. And so again, I enjoy being in a class setting. I enjoy exchanging with youth and seeing the world through their eyes, and seeing their challenges. And it was an amazing opportunity. And then I stumbled upon what I'm doing now.
Wait, so how many years in total were you teaching?
I taught 11 years in all.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good run. That's a decade and a little more. What are like some of the biggest takeaways from working with kids that you learned in your experience spending that much time in the classroom, in that group settings with the kids?
I just love everything about it. I love the community aspect of it. I love seeing, youth grow as they go, get over their challenges. It's such an incredible honor, right? And to be able to spend the whole year of somebody's life with them, right? Share space and share time and watch them evolve, right? Try to support them through challenges and sometimes difficult, life circumstances. And also, I've been very, very lucky to have incredible colleagues that were oftentimes much more experienced than I was. So fantastic, you know, mentorship. And then I was also able to work with younger people than myself. And so again, you know, it's like a way of giving back and exchanging, working as teams. I love that aspect of that, you know, the whole community aspect that that comes from working in a school setting.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes with it. You make it such a beautiful picture of being a teacher. My mom was a lifelong school teacher. My sister is a school teacher. So it's very near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
Now I feel like there's a lot of parents who are trying to help their kids who maybe lack what they feel like is motivation, or they mope around and they aren't taking action. And you have begun work with this Kolbe Index. So can you help me explain what is the Kolbe Index?
So Kolbe is a living method that helps us measure our natural strengths. So we are forever talking about, you know, the effective part of the mind, and that is what you do such an incredible job at, right, at motivating people and helping them find or identify their values, you know, what makes them tick. It's essentially, you know, their values, their passion, the things that they love, prefer, all of the stuff that makes them tick. And so the affective part of the mind is really incredibly important, because that's where motivation lives, and motivation acts like a spark. So we'll leave that there. It's kind of like a long way around what I'm about to explain what Kolbe does, but I think it makes sense to see it as a whole. So we've got the affective part of the mind where motivation lives, and then we have the cognitive part of the mind, and that is where all of our skills are, the things that we know, the knowledge, the experience that we gather along the way, right? At school, at work, at home. The interesting part about the cognitive part of the mind is that is where IQ lives. And that is something that our parents give us genetically that doesn't change. But apart from that, you know, the affective and the cognitive, they're always evolving, right? We're always growing, hopefully, a lifetime, right? We're always, you know, growing, really. That's what it is. What I'm interested in is the third part of the creative mind, and that is the cognitive part of the mind. And that cognitive comes from the word action, and it literally means moving forward. So it's also referred to as MO, modus operandi, or instincts, right? So if we were to put these three parts of the mind in a circle, what we would have is the affective, the motivation, acting like a spark that ignites this cognitive part that I like to envision it as being in like a holy grail of behavior. It's like a box that has the four action modes that engage when you are literally moving forward. And so what Kolbe does is it looks inside of that box and it examines how much time and effort you spend in each one of the four modes so that we can understand your pattern of behavior. Once you're literally moving into your pattern, right? Like when you've got momentum and you are motivated to do things your way and you're moving forward, that is actually when the cognitive part of the mind is engaged, and the cognitive assesses where you're at. So is it safe? Should we continue? Are we, you know, should we keep going? And so when we say yes and we just continue to work and tap into our natural strengths, that is when we have purposeful action. It's that feeling of knowing that what you're doing is perfectly aligned with your way of doing things. Energy is finite. So even, you know, even if you're doing things your way, Jesse, at the end of the day, you're probably really tired. And that's because you have no more energy to spend cognitively, right? So that means you need to recharge it so that you can continue or start again the day after. The interesting thing is that we can actually measure the level of stress that people experience when they are called upon doing things but in someone else's way. So when they cannot engage into their patterns of behavior naturally, and I am, say, forcing you to do things my way, that is when you start to feel all this cognitive tension, and therefore our stress levels increase. Oftentimes we're not as productive. We get home and we have this, it's almost like this dread, right? Like we're tired, but it's not a satisfying day when we're not able to be ourselves and do things our way. So it's really interesting to me, because when we help people understand how they actually move into action naturally, we find that they can create opportunities to be themselves and therefore really soar and therefore, you know, advocate for their needs. And this applies to youth as well as it applies to adults. Does that answer your question? So this is what I do. I essentially help you open your holy grail of behavior, and then I help you discover stuff that you already probably know about yourself, but it's very, it's scientific, it's quantifiable, and it's very, very accurate, because it's based on patterns of behavior. And we have millions of indexes that have helped us identify these patterns. So we know a lot of really cool things about people because the algorithm is very, very precise. So a couple of, I know, for example, you, if it's okay for me to say, you love information. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. You definitely love information based on, you know,
I like to know what's going on.
Absolutely. And you don't just like scratch the surface. No, no, no. You like being an expert. Like you, when you're interested, you're motivated to learn about something, you love to have a lot of information. You know, I could actually even tell you some things that you were already doing as a kid, because we come wired with this holy grail of behavior, you know, the moment we enter this earth, and it stays with us forever. So because you like information, I'll give you some cool facts. Okay. So I said that IQ was something that our parents give us genetically, right? When it comes to our instincts.
I know, I was kind of bummed when you said that. I was like, oh man, I hope they gave me a good one. I've never done it.
I think they have. Absolutely. They have. So,
debatable.
So when it comes to the cognitive part of the mind, it's not something your parents give you. It's got nothing to do with the gender you associate with. It's got nothing to do with your culture or your social economical background. And unlike the affective part of the mind and the cognitive part of the mind, it just never changes. It stays with us forever. So hopefully we are either able to really understand it and advocate for ourselves, or we have adults in our lives when we're young that foster our ways of doing things so that they can advocate for us when we cannot, right?
Oh, that's huge. Yeah.
Right. So that's in a nutshell what I do. That's my passion. It's helping people understand their MO.
I love it. I think that is a big issue for a lot of parents. And that's one thing I hear all the time, is that they're just not motivated. They just are lazy and they don't want to do anything. And how do I motivate them? And that's something that I talk about a lot when I go and I speak. One of the things that I do is I'll hold up a $100 bill and I'll say, who wants it? And I'll wait there until someone actually takes it out of my hand. And I was just in Utah a couple of weeks ago, and I did a week long worth of schools there. And I stood up there for a long time before they came and got it, because they're very polite in Utah. And the teachers also had them, you know, following the rules, and like, hey, and I was kind of like, teachers, let them go. Like, this is an example of something. And the big takeaway is like, hey, this $100 represents something that you want in your life. And what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and not take action and not get that thing? Or and let someone else get the $100 that was meant for you? Because at the end of the day, even if you go for it and you don't get it, you're still in the same situation, right? And that was the difficult thing for the career path that I've chosen, is you want to help people and you do all these things to try to help them, whether it's going and speaking or different programs and different things. But at the end of the day, someone has to want it for
That's right.
themselves and someone has to take action.
That's right.
But none of it means like the speech, they go get motivated and that feels great. But unless you stop eating all the food or you stop hanging out with the bad people or you start implementing some study habits, all of it's a waste of time. And so I have kid after kid after kid, you know, after a thing, you know, 100 kids come up and tell me they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And I'm like, after a while, you're like, you get kind of frustrated because you know only a small percentage of them are actually taking the action and then following through and being consistent with the action. So that's why I think it's so valuable what you're doing is like, all right, how, like, what are the pieces of the puzzle that you fall into that index that get you to take action, which seems pretty central. So you said something about the science, and I wanted to ask you, what is the science behind this, and how did they come up with it? I know a little bit, but I'd love to hear it from you, of the founder of the Kolbe Index and how they came up with it.
So it was Kathy Kolbe, and she is an absolute joy. She's an 80 or something, theorist that came up with this idea that, IQ is not, it doesn't do it all. Like, that is just one part of the mind. Like, she understood that there were patterns of behavior that we utilize to problem solve. And she spent a lifetime trying to come up with a way of measuring it. And she's done it quite remarkably. It's a life theory, so every year we're learning new things, right? And she is very close to our community, so she has these open discussions with people like myself who work with youth and adults and so on. And so it's always getting a little more refined, and we're always understanding it more and more. A few interesting numbers. So, because you're talking about motivation and what, I guess, why children or youth, kind of lose it along the way. And there are some things that I think could be indicative of why. So, 20% of the population initiates action the same way that you do. So, out of the four action modes, there is one that's longer. That is where you spend the most time and effort, right? At well, there's 20% of the population that does the same thing as you. But there is only 5% of the population that actually has the exact same score that you have. So, think about it. There's only 5% of the population with the same natural strengths that you have. Like, when you think of it, there's only 5% of the people. When you add all of the effective emotional intelligence that you bring to the table and all of your skills, right, and all of your knowledge, it's the three parts of the mind that make you unique, right? It's the combination of those three things that make you so remarkably helpful. And when you understand what the cognitive does, and I believe I've seen it, when youth understands, gets a hold of what their natural strengths look like, and in action, when they can own it, they walk into rooms very differently. Not only more motivated, but I think a lot more confident, because they know what they bring to the table. They understand this uniqueness, right? And so for you, I would say when you were an adolescent, if I would have been able to work with you, I would have made sure that you knew that you could have walked into any room and say, you know what, guys, I'm really good at research. I'm really good at details. I'm amazing at priorities. You can lean on me for all that stuff, right? I am strategic planner. That's what I do. And so even just the narrative, right? The vocabulary, when we stumble upon big challenges in life, which is obviously bound to happen, right? Our instincts is what remains. It's what is there with us forever. That does not change. So I think that's a pretty solid place to fall back on, right?
Confidence is everything. I think that's so, so important. And that's at the center of what we work with families and teens on, because when they can walk into a room and go, hey, like for me growing up, it would have been like, my identity was really wrapped up in basketball. So it's like, I'm Jesse, the basketball player. I'm carrying around a basketball right now, probably, and dribbling it at school or whatever room that I'm walking into. But to know that, hey, I'm more
That's
than
right.
just Jesse the basketball player. I actually have some
That's
other
right.
unique skills.
That's right.
But I didn't really know that at the time. So this seems like kind of a shortcut to understand yourself better and build up some confidence based on your strengths. Because
Absolutely.
In today's world, so much with therapy and all of these things, it's like we focus on the things we're unhappy with in our life a lot of times, and we just let that ruminate over and over. And I want to help people, for every single person hearing this or their kids, no matter where you are in your life, of like, let's help you find your purpose and your passion and the things that you're naturally gifted at and have a natural disposition for, and let's lean into that and make that be the thing that you're excited about working on. So that kind of seems to me kind of aligns with the Colby Index. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that when kids are running low on motivation, it's oftentimes because they're in situations where, you know, their natural strengths are not recognized or understood. So, I mean, teachers are working in the dark. I mean, some of us intuitively, you know, have a desire to understand children and or youth and put them in winning situations, right? But I mean, bottom line, the system is made in such a way that, you know, you're there to gather information, learning, putting it into a solid plan, you know, and move forward. But that is only 20% of the population, right? We have 80% of the population that has very different needs, right? So when I look at your profile, for example, I mean, school must have loved you because you are very aligned with what 80% of the teachers want from a student, because they themselves roll like you, right? But I mean, there's 80% of the population that has very different needs. There are people that initiate with the question, what if? What if I tried this? What if I tried that? Those are innovators, right? Those are the kids that want to push the envelope a little further. They want to try new things. So, you know, they might be more physical and they're more verbal. So they talk all the time, right? Well, you know, I know people that initiate action that way, guaranteed they've had a report card that said talks too much, you know? Just because the system is not interested in that. And yet we need these kids. We need to foster these talents because they're the kids that are doing startups, right? That are thinking out of the box, that are answering needs that no one else has, right? We also have, you know, the builders, the kids that need tangibles, that need to like physically create things. For whom environment really matters. They need to be in nature. They love animals. Now, it doesn't mean you don't. Mm-hmm. You might like that. But when it comes to them, it's actually a need. That's the difference, Jesse, is that when we talk about effective, it's always a want. When we're talking about our instincts and our cognitive needs, we're talking about needs, right? Like, it's their needs are not negotiable because that is your natural way of doing. So, and that again is, it's why it's so important that these children find a place and find adults that celebrate the things that come naturally to them. I don't know if you can hear me or completely frozen right now. Oh, I think you're back. Yeah.
Oh, I lost you for a second there. What was your last thing
I
you
think
said?
What I was saying is that it is important for the kids that don't, or the youth that doesn't like fit into these environments naturally, it is important to create room for them, because otherwise we're wasting a lot of valuable talent. And we know for a fact that any team is more successful when we have a variety of natural talents, right? What we tend to do is we want to clone ourselves, right? We recognize people that do things, even just intuitively, people that are aligned with us, that roll the same way we do. We gravitate towards them because we think they get it right. But really, what you want when you're creating a team is a sports team. You want a variety of talent, right? Because that is how the creative process is more successful. The more variety you have in terms of conation, the more successful your teams will be. So imagine if we were in schools where we empower children to say, you know what, this is my MO. These are the things that I'm good at. And this is what you can count on me to deliver, right? You'd be creating teams that are a lot more successful. I think you'd create, and we see this, I've seen it firsthand. You see families, for example, families are teams, right? So you see families that are more cohesive because they understand how the needs of everyone. You know, and they also understand the potential tension that is created when people are very different. So I think it gives you this opportunity to understand where conflict is rooted, right? Is it an affective personality conflict? Is there a problem because the person doesn't have the skills to do the work? Or is it because there's someone that it's just not able to do things their way. And so it's a cognitive problem. So you see how by kind of looking at the root of the problem, we are immediately eliminating emotional conflict, which tends to happen, right? That's where we always go when there's a problem. We just go to the emotional, right? But if it's a cognitive issue, then you're able to rethink the situation and say, no, this person needs more time to ask more questions, or this person needs to build 3D to understand, you know, or this person needs to verbally brainstorm their ideas before they are able to write them down. You see? So you're creating opportunities for everyone to shine, and you're eliminating potential conflict.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. I think every parent wants this for their kid. And if you are a parent watching this right now, what does it actually look like to get a Kolbe index for their kid or for themselves? What is it actually consist of?
So we have two different indexes. So one would be for youth. So youth meaning kids that, or youth that hasn't been employed, that only have like an academic experience. So we have a student aptitude quiz. And so they take the quiz and they get results. And it's again very accurate, and it's the questions that are asked are more related to schoolwork because that's what they're familiar with. When it comes to young adults or parents, well, they would be taking an Index A, and that is really more based on work experience. But the results are the same in terms of like we're able to work with them. They're essentially showing us the same, right? Which is their natural strengths. And then we can analyze them. So we explain to each individual what their natural strengths are. And then we share that as a group. And then, you know, we identify the areas where it could be very difficult to work together because we have different needs, right? So how do we get around that? Like, what are strategies that can be easily implemented? I think in particular to youth that is struggling in school with deadlines, for example, where is that rooted in, right? It's like, why can this person not keep an agenda? Why are they always late? Why are they losing all their things, you know? We attach these this judgment, right? We judge that because we don't realize how versatile those people are and how we can recreate narrative around that and put them in winning situations while giving them strategies that they can use to cope with some of the demands, you know, like deadlines and showing up on time and not losing things all the time, right? Like, what can we do? So we're not just pointing what isn't working, right? So once kids can see the value that they bring to the table, it's so much easier to problem solve around the issues they're having, right? Because the work in nature is positive. Yeah. And that's when I think you see motivation go up, because you experience success, right? And so it just feeds itself. And
mm-hmm. goes round and round.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going down a positive path and it's being reinforced. I love it. How accurate do you feel like the Kolbe test and your experience of doing this, you're saying it's quantifiable and all these things, how accurate have you found it to be, having been a part of hundreds and probably thousands of tests?
I can
over
speak
years.
Of my own personal experience when I did my Kolbe. To be perfectly honest, I took it because it meant that I could go on a retreat. It was a couple's retreat, that my husband was being coached and they were offering, you know, a couple's retreat. So you brought your partner. The only thing you needed to do is get your partner to take a Kolbe A. And I was so excited about going away. I had four kids under 12, I think. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be so great. We're going to Florida. I'll do anything to get, you know, a long weekend. And so I had to take a Kolbe, and I did, and I honestly thought that it was like one of those, you know, things that were going to give me a color and, you know, that would be very, you know, subjective and whatever. But I took it. I didn't really pay attention to it. I showed up at the conference, and then someone took me aside and looked at my results. And the interpretation wasn't in depth, but it was enough to get my curiosity. And then I was lucky enough to get more information. And then I truly got it. And then it became so validating, and it became so, it rang so true to me that it literally changed my life. It made me a much better parent, a much better partner. I think it made me want to share this with other people, because I immediately thought of all those kids in my classroom that I couldn't quite figure out. This was giving me the answers, right? I couldn't do it, but I couldn't go back in the past and do that, but I could certainly try and help other people that were struggling. And so that's how I got into Kolbe. And so then I got certified, and during certification, Kathy Kolbe, we did like a game that predicts results just by observing behavior. And I was picked, and Kathy Kolbe did a full on interpretation of my MO. And it was, like I said, like just even more life altering. It's absolutely game changer for me. So I'm very grateful for this.
Yeah. And I think, speaking of game changing, that to go back talking about kids finding their purpose, finding their why, finding their passion, because when you have that, you don't need someone to motivate you all the time. You don't need a parent writing you and checking it. You're doing it because it's for you. And how can the Kolbe bridge the gap between kids and then finding maybe a vocation or a career or a path that they would be excited about doing? Because that's the thing I see, is so many kids don't know what they want to do, and that's perfectly okay and part of the process and growing up. But if you can help them figure it out sooner, I think that's so huge, and so many parents
want that for their kids. So we've developed this program called UpGig. And so what it does is it marries the students' interests, right? The things that they love. It takes into account how long they want to study, right? Like the kind of academic career that they want to take. And then it identifies their natural strengths and it matches both of them. And then it generates on the spot 10 careers that are aligned, perfectly aligned with their natural strengths and interests, as well as, you know, academic career. It tells them where they can study. It tells them how relevant these jobs are going to be within 10 years, because as you know, things are changing very rapidly right now. And they also, because you're in the States, it would tell you who's hiring for those jobs in your community or in your area. So it also identifies where you can study to get those degrees. And what I'll continue in a second, but what blows me away is the amount of careers I have never heard of. It is incredible. Like, you know, for me, when I was in university, you essentially had like 5 programs you could go into, you know, like science, language, you know, it was very, very limited, right? But now these kids have like a world of opportunities and it's overwhelming. So you can't just go with what you like. You need to understand what it is that you do well naturally. So on top of having those 10 careers that you are destined, say, if your interests don't change, you are destined to do, then you have about 100 of them that you'd be really happy to wake up to every morning so that you would be doing really well. And then you have about 10 that you should ever, ever, ever consider doing, even if your parents did that a lifetime, right? Because that's how a lot of our children choose their academics, right? It's like, who do you come, you know, what kind of environment, you know, made you? Well, then you kind of think that looks familiar, feels familiar. And so you think that you might as well just do it. But this UpGig is an incredible tool. And, you know, we know that the careers that we are suggesting are right for those kids because we have data that shows us that adults doing those jobs are the same MO, say, you know, are succeeding and they're happy with those jobs. So I think it's an incredible tool. And when you have a child that isn't particularly motivated, being able to show them, look, there are hundreds of careers that you could do, but not just do that, you could do really well, right? It's, to me, it's like an instant confident builder, right? Even if you don't want a lot of them, it doesn't matter. Just knowing that you'd be really good at them, I think can make a huge difference.
That's huge. And I think so many people are searching for that because it's like, all right, well, what am I going to do now with my life? And there's been just a weird dynamic that happened since the pandemic where there's more of a failure to launch in a lot of kids and a lot of families. And they're very comfortable staying at home, having free food and free rent and video games as much as they want. And so getting them to be like, no, this is like what I want to do with my life. This is a path that there is some data and science to back up that my particular unique individuality would thrive at.
It's everything,
is
right?
Exciting.
Yeah, so, I think so. I agree.
Yeah. I want to ask you a tough question now, okay? You've been doing this
7 years
long
now.
Time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 7 years, a lot of Colby indexes. Can you give me your favorite success story? Something that happened, it could be anyone, yourself, but one that stands out. And if you need a couple, two or three, I'll give you a couple.
Yeah.
You could do more than one. But is there one that comes to mind that you're like, wow, this absolutely transformed this person's life so much?
A I success just love story, hearing, right? I think there's one that like just that. Pops to mind because it's recent and it was such a win. It was this person working within a banking system that had like was perfectly wired to do that job. She was young. So she started off as an intern and then she got recruited to keep the job. And my husband met her and started to talk about Colby, and she said, I think I need to take it. And so I worked with her, and it was amazing because it felt so validating to her. These are things that she was already doing, that she kind of knew about herself. But after the interpretation, she said, I need to call my parents and share this with them. And that's a very common response. Or you work with a corporate group and then they all say, okay, my family needs to get this, you know? So, but this person in particular, the amazing thing was that it was what she needed to hear in order to go up to her boss, who was really well-meaning, but kept thinking, well, you don't have the experience, so I'm going to tell you how to do things. And so she kept going against her grain because her boss was managing in a way that she wasn't really tapping into her own way of doing things. And so what happened is after her interpretation, she was actually able to go to her boss and say, look, this is what I know I can do and I can do really well. So you can lean on me to deliver this. And so please let me do it my way. I can show you that I'm okay and I can actually, you know, perform better than I am right now. And it was instant. Her performance just, you know, skyrocketed. And the only reason I know this is because there's a general manager that just felt that this person was completely different than where she was, you know, a few weeks before, and chatting with her, understood that it was because of the Colby that she had taken. It had just confirmed, given her enough confidence to actually advocate for herself, and it had been a game changer. And so even the way she presented herself changed. It's all about confidence, right, Jesse? And success, right? And so that I find that super gratifying, because I think that when students transition, right, from a system that they understand really well to a work environment, it can be very destabilizing, right? Because they don't know how to find their way in this new system, and it takes a while. And I think that something like this can totally help them. If they don't have it before, it can for sure launch them into a successful career. And interestingly, I would say that when people are at the other end of a career, when they are exiting a career and going into retirement, this can also do wonders for them, because again, right, it ignites this, you know, not like it almost ignites motivation of saying, you know what, well, these are all the things that I bring to the table, even if I'm not in a corporate setting or professional setting anymore, these are still my strengths, and this is how I can apply them for the next, you know, 20, 30, 40 years of my life. So it works. It works, wow, at all levels.
It seems like a pretty cool. Yeah. And from that story, it seemed like it was just a couple weeks for that realization to happen and then to approach the boss.
I think I would say that even in my case, it was instant. Like the minute you get it, people will run with it. And it's almost an instant transformation. It's almost like they got validation about something that they kind of knew about themselves, but once it's confirmed and their narrative is recreated, it changes everything about the way they, you know, they see themselves at work, the way they communicate with others. And so for this person, you know, she had a chat with her boss like the day after she had her Colby results. So that was that made me very happy, and I was grateful I got to hear about that.
Congratulations to her, and congratulations to you. And it's interesting because we always talk about with confidence is it's got to be based on something, right? Like there's a lot of like, oh, you're great and you're awesome, but if it's not based on anything, then it doesn't really matter. And we always talk about, it's like accomplishing small things, getting small wins, building up this undeniable stack of proof that you can look at any time. And it seems like the Colby Index helps you understand yourself better and helps you understand like, no, here is my stack of proof of like what I excel and what I'm good at. And now I know that I can stand on this, and I can stand up for myself and advocate for myself. And I would rather have a teen figure that out than someone that's retiring out of their career just because then they Absolutely. Have longer to benefit from knowing these things.
Right. So they can make a huge difference in the world, right, in terms of the potential that they bring, right? And I'd like to add to what you were saying is I think that the reason why it makes such a difference is because it feels genuine. So you can encourage, you can give medals. Mm-hmm. If the person knows, right, when it's well earned and when it's for real. Do you see what I mean, right? So when you're putting your true self out there and you are performing and you're helping and you're succeeding, when you get those accolades, right, and those building blocks, then it just feels solid because it's you. Because you're free to be yourself. And I think that that's the only way that we can align ourselves with jobs, in teams, in relationships that are positive, that keep growing, that nourish us. So, that's what I think.
Veronica, what you're doing is amazing. I love it. Where can people go to find out more if they want to talk to you about doing a Colby Index for their child or for themselves?
It's easy. Just go to my website. So it's www.slaterconsulting.ca. Remember, I'm in Canada, so that's .ca, so slaterconsulting.ca.
Okay. So yes, I got one more question for you. If you were going to go back in time, and you were beginning your parenting journey, what would be the one piece of advice you'd give yourself?
Other than relax? there's a few things, Jesse. I think I'd say be a little more curious. Ask your kids why. Ask simple questions like, I don't know if this answers the question directly, but I'm just thinking of teaching. Asking kids, what are you good at? Oftentimes, that is an excellent lead into their MO and their natural strengths. And I don't think that we spend enough time asking those questions. So being curious and asking them, instead of just interpreting or, attaching labels to people, I think that would probably be it.
I love it. I think that's a good one too, that I hear a lot. And the little slant I'll hear sometimes is, and be curious in a non-judgmental way. And be actually.
Yeah,
actually curious. And
me too. Big fans over here. But I mean, it all comes down to that, right? And I never really framed it that way, but I think it makes such a difference, right? Ask questions. These kids know more than we think they know sometimes, even when they're lost. Like if you really dig deep and you manage to establish trust, when they open up, there's a lot to take out of that, and build on. So, I'm always very optimistic when I work with youth because you can accomplish amazing things.